You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wonderful, majestic world around us. It's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Anika, what's been going on?
Well, Alan, what's been going on?
Sorry. I should preface it. We are joined by Alan in the studio today. Sorry, I'm so sorry, Alan.
We have Alan back in studio today after a little hiatus.
Yes, indeed.
How are we feeling? Are we recovered from the COVID?
We are recovered from the COVID.
As it seems to be getting everyone now.
It does seem to be getting everyone. And this is as good a time as any to thank all of those dedicated people who've been working over the past 2 years to make vaccines and stuff like that for this, because it does kill people.
Yeah,
and luckily, you know, I'm really lucky to have had a really, really mild dose. So, you know, I count myself fortunate. So, and Christina, if you're listening, I hope it's similarly mild for you too. So take care out there.
Yes, because it is no fun. But jumping into some very fun science stories for today.
Yeah, yes.
Let's lift our spirits.
Okay, indeed.
With starting off a video of a solar eclipse on Mars.
I know. How cool is that?
Very cool. And it's quite a video.
Yeah, the video is just superb.
Definitely check it out if you haven't.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go and have a look at it. So the way that they got this was obviously the good old Perseverance Mars rover, which is busy noodling around on the surface of Mars. And they took all of the equipment with them to be able to get a fabulous full-colour, high-res video of a solar eclipse. Now, Mars is a little bit different to good old Earth because it's got two moons, not one. So
lucky.
However, those moons are tiddlers. So one of them is about 22 kilometres across,
right,
and the other one's about 10k across. Okay, so Phobos and Deimos.
That's tiny.
I know, it's absolutely tiny. It's really nothing. And so therefore, because they're so small, they don't block out the entire sun.
I see.
And so the fantastic shot that you get when you look at this video is of part of the sun being covered, I guess, by this little thing. And it's also way closer to Mars than is our moon. So it's only about sort of 12,000K away from Mars as opposed to 380,000K from our moon. And so it goes across very quickly.
Mm.
So it's all over in about 40 seconds. And the video is just spectacular, absolutely stunning. And you might think, okay, wow, so NASA has spent all this money to get a pretty picture and stuff like that. But it's not just spending money for money's sake. So basically from this video, they can get some idea of the orbit of Phobos. And what they do know is that in a few million years, Phobos is in a death spiral and it's going to get closer and closer and closer, and eventually it's going to crash into Mars.
Jeez. What?
I know. It sucks, doesn't it? Poor Phobos. And
so much for us moving there.
Poor Phobos.
Yeah. It's a few million years away, though. So they can figure that out. They can get a better idea of when that's going to happen. And they can also...
Would that be quite destructive?
I'd imagine it wouldn't be good for the planet.
Well, no, because it's so small.
But it's 10 kilometres, though. If a 10-kilometre something hit Earth, then whoo-hoo boy.
Yeah, that'd do some damage.
You know, that would get rid of the dinosaurs. Again.
It's a good thing there's no dinosaurs on Mars, right?
Yeah.
That we know of.
But they... Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go. But
go on, text in. Do you think there's dinosaurs on Mars?
But they can also figure out as well something about what's underneath the surface of Mars from the gravitational pull, the very small gravitational pull Mars on Phobos and also of Phobos on Mars. So, this is going to help understanding of the planet. And again, I really do urge you, go and have a look at it online.
No, it really is an amazing. And the quality?
Yeah,
insane.
Exactly. It's absolutely high res, everything. Looks like somebody was there with an iPhone.
One thing that kind of got me when I was watching the video is that you said it's not perfectly round.
No, it's not.
Which just messes with my whole concept of like what planets and moons. And,
indeed, they do call it potato. Shaped.
It's quite potato shaped.
Whatever the shape of a potato is, I don't know. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's this irregular, tiny little thing. And
amazing.
Really, really quite astonishing. So go and have a look at it. Not now. Wait for the end of this bit. Or wait for the end of the wire. Sorry.
Thank you, Alan. But yeah, because next up we have a study of Notre Dame football players, which has revealed that college players are more likely to get brain disorders.
Indeed.
So a little bit more grim for the story.
Indeed. As they call it in the States, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Mm. Very, very big football school in Indiana, which is where I did my postdoc.
Wow.
At Indiana University, just down the road from Notre Dame. So there's been a study at Boston University of old players who used to play football for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And this is between the years 1964 and 1980. So there are 375 surviving players, and of that, 216 of them basically agreed to be part of this study. And it's a bit scary, really. So as you say, it looks like these surviving players are at greater risk of brain problems, I guess. So what they found was that these ex-players are five times more likely to have cognitive impairment, which is not good, 2.5 times more likely to have recurring headaches, and 65% more likely to have weirdly cardiovascular disorders, which is not necessarily what you would expect for sort of athletes and stuff like that. And also mortality from brain and other nervous system cancers almost four times higher.
Well, and that's no good.
Yeah, that's that really is terrible. And what you have to remember with these guys is this, you know, this is American football. This they wear helmets.
Mm. Oh, they're padded
up. Absolutely they are. So boy, you've just got to imagine what rugby league, all of that, just, you know, bang, 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 bang.
I'm starting to feel quite bad because whenever I see them all padded up, I'm like, come on, guys.
Wuss.
Surely you don't need all of that. I feel awful now.
But it's concerning because these are college kids. They are still quite young, and this is going to affect them for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely it is. And they had done a similar study on NFL players as well, and this basically is sort of mirroring those results. But the weird thing, I mean, there is a slight upside that apparently these guys have lower risk of death from lung cancer and heart disease.
Okay.
Which, I don't know, maybe it's because they don't smoke, or something.
Because the lifestyle is quite demanding.
Yeah, of course. So really, you know, not good at all. And what they are also planning on doing now is doing a long-term study of ex-soccer or football.
Yeah,
or
because what I was going to ask was for something like this to be able to see it relatively, like, clearly, would we have to be comparing it to other sports now?
Yeah. I would imagine so. And, you know, there's certainly a big thing, and I think sort of in the UK now, about sort of ex football players who, you know, all that heading and stuff like that. I mean, it just...
And football injuries look gnarly.
Yeah.
And they're not padded up.
Exactly. And your brain is kind of precious, and you don't want to go, you know, screwing it around. But I mean, look at the money. You know,
is insane.
But some athletes don't get paid. I mean, like I can say I compete in a sport where head injuries are quite prominent. So and like I know that a lot of athletes in that sport don't get paid nearly as enough as they should.
Yeah.
To compensate for the danger,
for what they're doing.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you are potentially sacrificing your future for short term gain if you are making the money. But if you're not, then jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good that studies like this are coming out now so people can go into things slightly more informed.
But on the other side of it, you know, you've got boxing and MMA and all of that sort of stuff. And, I mean, you know, it's... somebody think of the brains.
No, your brain is very precious.
It is, it absolutely is. You only get one of them.
Yeah, and especially when you think of like the short-term nature of high contact sports like this compared to the
rest of your
long-term
life. Yeah, exactly.
Where you'll need those cognitive functions to be onto it. But yes.
But, you know, the fact that they wear helmets, I think, is the big one here. They wear helmets and they're still getting affected significantly.
Yeah. Maybe the college football, NFL, anything like that probably needs to look at maybe stricter safety procedures around helmets and if the helmets are actually protecting these players, you know.
And, you know, the thing in this sport, it's dare I say it, it's not as much of a contact sport as, say, league.
Yeah.
I don't think you don't get these enormous full-speed hits. You know, people aren't running full tilt into other people.
It's making you cringe when you're talking about it.
Anyway. Yes.
Moving on.
Something more fun.
Yes. To the question, on everyone's lips. So listen up, because Alan is about to answer what we've all been waiting years to know, which is why does the Oreo cream stick to one side of the cookie?
Why, Alan? Why does it happen?
I know. Well... See, Oreos. See, no, I'm gonna sort of talk cameo creams here because I like them better.
Cameo creams.
Have you never?
Anika, come on. Oh my god.
Anika, I do not know what cameo creams are.
Oh, sheesh.
I'm sorry. Please let me know if you know what cameo creams are.
They're like long chocolate biscuits.
Huh? Yeah. They're sort of squished together, the little things, and they stick to one side.
Basically, an Oreo. Then,
they're different.
A better Oreo.
Anyway,
before we get into that.
So, people at MIT. Now, again, this is one of those stories. You think, why the hell did they ever look at this? And the reason being, apparently, is that this sort of started when they were all in lockdown over there, and. They sort of came up with the idea of, okay, why don't we study this? So these are people in sort of engineering at MIT, and they're looking at rheology. And rheology is the study of essentially why things flow and why things flow when you stress them, essentially. Okay? And so they found out that Oreo cream is, in fact, a thing called a yield stress fluid. Now, that is something.
Doesn't that sound delicious?
Doesn't sound healthy, bro.
So this thing is basically a solid, as long as it's not put under any stress or anything like that. But as soon as you start to twist it, you put some stress on it, then it starts behaving like a fluid.
Ooh.
And it starts to flow. Okay. And so what they did was they were looking at the viscoelasticity. In other words, the flowability. Okay.
Right.
Of the cream. Mm-hmm. And so the way that they did this, they glued the Oreo to this thing called a rheometer.
Okay.
And that essentially measures torque. Okay. And so they've got this thing glued there and they're providing torque on the bottom biscuit.
Okay. Okay,
sort of torquing it around. And they measure the stress or the torque that's needed to basically get the cream to separate off the biscuit. Okay. And what they found pretty much without exception was that it would always stick to one of the biscuits.
Right.
Okay. Except if you had older, sort of towards out of date packages, where apparently it would not necessarily just stick to the one.
But okay. Yeah.
And what they also found, my God, I can't believe they did this. So they were looking at biscuits from the right hand side of the packet versus biscuits from the left hand side of the packet. And the ones from the left-hand side of the packet, the icing would stick to the right-hand biscuit, and the ones from the left-hand side of the
Does it have something to do with, like, which is twisting and which one you're holding? Because when you twist Oreos, you're always kind of, like, twisting more on one side.
Well, you're holding one and twisting the other, but, again, that doesn't seem to matter.
Oh, my God.
So their thesis at the end of all of this is they looked at how these things are manufactured, and... what happens, you get one biscuit, they put the cream on this one biscuit, and then there's a slight delay, and then they put the other biscuit on top, and they reckon that slight delay allows the cream to bind to that biscuit that it's put on first. And that's what they reckon. That's the way that they figure that this all work. Now, if you want to try this at home, kids.
Which they absolutely do.
Real quick. Before we go into how we try this at home, we do have a few texts here asking from a few people. First one is from Christina. Shout out. I hope you're doing well, Christina. She says that she does miss you, Alan.
Aww.
So
it's mutual, Christina. Aww.
So shout out to Christina. We hope you are feeling all right today.
Yeah.
Another one here. In the NFL, they're allowed to hit the head regardless of helmets. In league and union, the head is off limits.
Nominally off limits, isn't it? But you're still
The whiplash. Yeah. And
sometimes it can't really be helped.
Yeah.
Also, they say.
So just as bad.
Fair point.
Third one here. Cameo creams are bomb. How about lemon treats, though?
Lemon treats?
I've never tried a lemon treat before.
No, I think I know the lemon treat, but the cameo creams just,
I know what I need to go buy from the supermarket tonight.
But to finish this off, if you want to try this at home and you have a 3D printer ready at home, then you can do this. If you just go and Google Oreometer or Oreometer.
Okay.
So you've got to print 3D print an oreometer.
You can 3D print an oreometer that will allow you to measure the stress.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and these it looks really cool.
Dust off the old 3D printer exactly. that you've got lying in the garage.
Yes, indeed. That thing that you never use, yeah.
So, an oreometer.
Yes, yeah. Oreometer. Yes.
Oh, real quick, another from Jack, I think Jack from the news team. I hope that's Jack from the news team. Did anyone else make the Mega Oreo with two icing sides
combined? Of course. Oh, yes. No, that's what you do with Cameo creams. You just stack them up. You can go 3, 4, 5, you know.
I don't think I've done more than two.
Oh, you've got to, though. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, is it too much cream, though? Like, what's too much cream?
All very scientific questions, Joe.
It's so scientific.
Absolutely it is, yes.
Just what Alan came in to talk about.
Anyway,
awesome. Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Fantastic. We've learnt a lot.
So
we will see you, and we'll be with you in a couple of weeks.
Surely. Take it easy, everyone out there.
See ya.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.